Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and this is one of my favorite times of the week, and I have brought along one of my favorite people of the week.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Well, I'm glad you're here with us, Richard, the other half of the show.
Indeed. Well, it takes two of us to tango on this little arrangement.
Yes,
and a
it
good
does.
Thing it is.
Indeed. And I do like to tango with Richard. Now, if you get our emails, you know that our guest tonight is Babaji. And Richard, if there are some people out in the audience who do not get our emails and who wish to get them, how can they sign up?
They just go to the website called the2012countdown.com and they put in their name and email address, and they will then receive an email with a confirmation link in it, which I'm sure everybody listening is familiar with that model. Click on the link and Bob's your uncle, you might say.
I love it. So, Richard, is Babaji here with us?
He tells me he is, so I figure he must be. Let's see what his see what his energy is like. Well, there's just one word to describe Babaji's energy, and that is love. You might say pure and simple, but it's not exactly pure and simple because it is strong and broad, pure, powerful love. It's how
Isn't
I experience
that
him.
Mm. That's wonderful.
Mm. Call me back in a few minutes. I'm just basking in it.
Oh, my. And we do have people out there who are very much connected with Babaji.
Indeed, we do. We have a number of people that listen to our show and have other connections with us who have quite strong relationships in some cases with Babaji. And he is one of my favorite characters, I must say. And I've been aware of Babaji for some years. I can't remember where I first came across him, but certainly some years ago. And I was well aware of him before I read Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi, which if any of our listeners have not read, I do encourage you to read that extraordinary, wonderful book. And Yogananda talks about Babaji, who you might consider was his spiritual grandfather, or actually probably his spiritual great-grandfather. You may or may not be aware that within Indian spirituality, there are these paths or connections or lineages is perhaps the best word. I've heard them referred to as dog pedigrees, which is perhaps a little unflattering. But these lineages are considered quite important in the spiritual traditions within India, as I understand it. I've not spent time in India, so I'm speaking a little secondhand. But certainly some people that I've spent time with and some of the reading I've done suggest that this is considered quite important. And certainly Yogananda felt his connection with Babaji was quite something that was important to him. So when I say he's his spiritual great-grandfather, what I mean is that Yogananda's master or teacher had been taught by a man who had studied under Babaji in that lifetime and indeed in previous lifetimes. Babaji is a very special individual for those of you who don't know of him. From the calculations that I've done, the man is over 2,570 years old, and he's probably even getting close to another decade on top of that, but certainly that old, and supposedly looks about 30 and has done really for most of his time on the planet. Of course, we hear about these people that have reached 120 years of age and struggling to continue on. Indeed, there have been many individuals in the past, particularly, who have mastered the ability to live for quite long periods of time. But to my knowledge, other than perhaps Babaji's sister, who is not so well known, but is mentioned, I believe, in Yogananda's book, Mataji, I think, has also been around, obviously, for pretty much a similar kind of time, though, as I say, less publicly. So Babaji has been quite a spiritual force on the planet for a long, long time. And as I said, he was, in a sense, the spiritual great-grandfather of Babaji, though, in fact, I believe there was direct contact between the two of them in Yogananda's life. And also, Babaji taught a number of the Essenes that were around prior to Yeshua's time, and indeed he was one of the key teachers of Yeshua. So in many ways he's played an important role in terms of, you might consider, the spiritual history or the spiritual unfolding upon our beautiful planet. So that's just a little background to this extraordinary individual.
I think that background was very helpful for us, Richard. Thank you for bringing it forth.
The other book that gives insights into Babaji is Anna's book, Yeshua's grandmother, maternal grandmother, Mother Mary's mother, that book being Anna, Grandmother of Jesus. And I know many of our listeners have read that book, brought forth by a woman who used the nom de plume of Claire Hartsong. And that book talks quite a bit about Babaji. In particular, it shares Yeshua's story of his experiences with Babaji. And that in and of itself gives some of the sense of Babaji himself. That book, from my assessment, is by and large accurate, though there are a few little areas where it wanders off track a little bit in my view, in part, I think, because it was not appropriate for that information to come forth at the time that that book was brought forth. But I don't recommend its sequel that seriously goes off track. I do not recommend that. But Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, is a book that I thoroughly recommend. There have only been two books that I recall that I've ever read more than once. The first of those was a book called The Magus, which I think was written by John Fowles. I remember reading it as a student, and I found it so dense, you might say, so difficult to follow that I, after about a year, reread it and was still perhaps just as lost in it as I was the first time. But in the case of Anna's book, I think I've read it four times now, and each time from a different perspective, as I guess you could say, I walked my own journey and understood things about myself a little more. And each time I've read it, it's informed me from a different place, in a different manner. And there have been other books that I've tried to read a second time and I just found them unreadable. I couldn't read them. So I find it very interesting that I was drawn to read that several times. But I've kind of got a little wayward here for me. We should connect with Babaji and see what he has to say.
What do you say we do that? That sounds like a good idea.
All right. I'll give it a shot and see what happens. My dear friends, It is a great honor and pleasure to connect with all of you once more. As you may know, if you have been a regular listener to these radio shows or have listened to the recordings, this is the third time that I have come forth on this show with these two special individuals, and it is a great joy for me to come forth in this manner. There is, of course, the opportunity to work with a small group that you might consider study under me in the Himalayas. But in terms of coming forth in, you might consider your world, it is a unique opportunity to do that. And so I appreciate the opportunity to step forth in this manner. And I will firstly confirm the things that Richard has said about me, and that I have indeed been present upon the planet for that. Do you need a cough?
No, thank you.
I have been present for that period of time. And it has been an amazing journey for me. I spent quite a lot of years mastering my abilities, you might say, bringing forth my skills to be able to master the physical in the way that I have. And once you master the physical as I have, it becomes very easy to live in this world. As you master the physical, you also, almost by default, bring forth other forms of mastery. If you can master the physical body in the way that I have, then in a sense, you place yourself where you can, let us say, dramatically influence the way things are expressed in the material or temporal domain. Indeed, there is a story which Babaji shares in his book, which was some of the teaching that I undertook with the one who was his, you can consider, spiritual grandfather. In other words, the one that I taught, who subsequently taught his teacher and so on. And I was aware from past lives that this individual had this great longing to experience great wealth, great grandeur. And so, as the story is told by Babaji, and that story is indeed accurate, I manifested this wonderful castle, you might call it, made primarily of gold in the Himalayas. And there were all the trappings, all the people dressed in their fineries. And so this man that I was training, who I had worked with in several previous lives, he was treated royally for a day and a night. And then once that experience was complete for him, then I simply had that castle disappear. Now, you might find this very strange to understand. Most of you take your reality to be solid, but it really is not solid in the way that you think it is. Any of you who have done any level of scientific study will know that as you look more closely at the nature of matter, as you get down to the atom, you find that the atom, in fact, is mostly space. Indeed, when you try to nail down, you could say, the presence or existence of an electron, it kind of disappears. And so it is, you might consider, a probabilistic expression of things when you get to that level. And yet all that you see, all that you experience is made up of these atoms that are ethereal, yet you take what they have been, you might say, made up into these solid objects as being solid, when really they are not. It is, in a sense, an illusion. And once you understand this and truly master the ability to manipulate and express what is, you might consider, material or temporal, then you really can change that in many ways. You can have it appear and disappear. Yeshua tells the story in Anna's book of how I stopped not a landslide, but an avalanche coming down the side of a mountain, which would have wiped us off the side of the mountain if it had proceeded, and I simply stopped it. And again, you would find that very difficult to understand, but indeed it is not so difficult. Similarly, I taught Yeshua to walk across a ravine where a river was flowing at least 100 feet below. And I walked across, and his father Joseph was with us and walked across ahead of Yeshua. And I know Yeshua had a moment of fear, but then he realized that he could do it also. And so he simply walked across the ravine in the air. And so that story you hear of him walking on water is really not so strange, because he had walked on thin air across a ravine. So he understood these things, and he grasped the knowledge that he already had and applied it to be able to do that. I give you these examples because in ways they are examples of what you will all be able to do quite readily as you step into the new consciousness and beyond. Indeed, you will all reclaim the ability to manifest in the temporal or material domain anything that you desire. Indeed, you will be able to change your physical form if you wish. You'll be able to manifest a house that you might want, the food that you might want, the transport mechanism that you might want, although you may not actually require a transport mechanism, because you'll be able to both bilocate your physical form and to, you might say, transport it from one place to another, because again, it is simply an expression of the material domain. Again, some of the Essenes had that ability to teleport their physical form, as I describe, including Joseph, Yeshua's father. Again, I share these stories with you, these understandings, because they give you a glimpse of what it will be like as you move forward. And indeed, I understood when I came into my lifetime that one of my purposes was to build this powerful example in this existing consciousness of what is possible, so that it would assist those who participate in this shift, this transformation, to be able to undertake these kinds of expressions. Indeed, there are people who can do it today. Most of you are probably aware of the fact that some yogis are able to suspend their physical bodies above the ground. And again, this might seem strange and impossible to you. Many of the ancient peoples of the world had the ability to walk through rocks or through trees, or have their physical form disappear from one place and appear in another, or to simply jump off cliffs quite safely, as is expressed in the writings of Carlos Castaneda. All of these things were part of those traditions, and indeed it is one of the reasons that so many of those you might consider native tribes have been in large measure exterminated, because they had skills and abilities that those who currently control your world did not wish to have be visible in your world. And so they acted to eliminate expressions of human experience that were not consistent with their control model that they wish to impose upon everybody on the planet. So in my own way, I have been this example, and I continue to be this example, and I will remain this example until the completion of this, you might say, stepping forward, stepping up to a higher dimension for those who might choose it. And I will also participate in that shift. And even though I have a youthful body that I have preserved and sustained over this, what you might consider, very long period of time, I too will go through the transformation process, which will bring forth a physical form that is consistent with what existed before the fall in Atlantis, just as those of you who are listening to this call will almost certainly do. So, again, I am telling you these stories because I want you to understand a little of what awaits you in your future. It is very easy for all of you to get pulled down, you might say, by your challenging experiences in this current dimension. Many of you struggle financially. Many of you have accumulated a lot of years. Most people who are walking a spiritual journey are usually, you might consider, of mature age, and many are of retirement age and beyond. And so you are suffering in various ways, and it is easy to get overcome by these experiences, to feel like it will never end. And also, it is not possible to be awake in a spiritual sense and not be aware on some level of the attempts to completely dominate humanity by those who wish to do so, driven by very dark agendas, including the desire to eliminate most of the human population. It is hard to imagine such agendas, but they are so devoid of love and so driven by dark, satanic motivations, where the sacrificing of children and even adults is just part of life for them. They think nothing of it and are very carefully protected. But you see, that is their world. And their world is not the world of the future. And you need to understand this. It looks like they could take over everything. And if you follow the news, all you see is this confused interaction that is unstable, looking like it will break apart at any moment. These groups that are seemingly at war with each other all over the place, and it is hard to imagine why they don't find some basis for agreement. But those who drive this agenda have no desire to see agreement reached. That is their path to establishing their global control system, which they are these days rolling out in a more piecemeal manner than their original plans involved. But I do not wish to give too much focus to them, other than to alert you to the fact that you can get caught up in all of that and give it too much focus. And I am aware that Richard is working to, in a way, document this structure that exists behind the scenes, to document it in a manner which enables those who are interested to build that picture. It is, in a sense, important to record how this structure exists and how it works and operates, so that as you move beyond it, that record is there. And there have been other people that have documented a lot of this in many ways, some very accurately, some not so. But these understandings are important to document, and it is what drives Richard to do this. And it is very easy to think that he is, you might say, absorbed by this, but those of you who know him understand that it is just part of what he is drawn to do in this time. So I come forth with this message of explanation, but also a message of hope and encouragement, because what you are here to participate in terms of this shift and change, I wish to restate, will be part of your experience in quite the near future. Indeed, I have been watching very closely, and there have been times when I have provided very direct assistance to Carol and Richard in understanding what interference remains and assisting them at various points with identifying it and clearing it. But it has been a tremendously difficult journey for the two of them. Some of you have some inkling of what they have dealt with, but really no one understands what has been their journey for some 7 or 8 years now, as they have realized that this was theirs to do and have engaged with it and stepped through it in a manner which involved them not understanding when or if this journey would end. But it will end, my friends, and indeed I would say it is ending. It is fair to say that they have been involved with clearing the minor remaining threads of interference, beings and their interference that they have set up in some cases in the past, in some cases in the present. And I am not here to say that all of that is complete, because I'm not in a place to actually assess that. But I can say that it is very close, because I'm able to witness the future. And I would say that because those on what you might consider the other side of the veil of consciousness, this veil that surrounds this beautiful planet that we are on, and which impacts most people, although me perhaps less than most, that indeed those of the light on the other side have been distracted to some extent from understanding the need to assist with this finalization of clearing, because they can witness the emergence of these changes. And you might say it has had them to some degree take their eye off the ball. But I'm also satisfied that that is not the case today, and they are working extremely hard to assist in any manner that they can to see this difficult phase ended. And I would confirm that you are living in that time when the dark feel they are on the point of, you might consider, grabbing control of all upon the planet. And so you are living in that time when that sense of control will be slipped away from them. But as part of that slipping away, you might consider, is the process of humanity, at least in part, awakening to what these satanic individuals have been up to, what they have been doing, how they control people through money and abuse to have them be completely under their control on all political levels, within the judiciary, within the financial system, within the political system, and so on. The military, they are all controlled in these ways. And it's important to understand it. All of this, of course, is hidden from the public. So they are on the verge of believing that they are about to grasp this control, but they will not succeed. Of course, there are those who will remain with them, who are committed to their path, or who do not believe sufficiently in an alternate to step into the new consciousness, even though they will have many examples within their lives of what this represents. Those who have stepped across into the new consciousness and are you might consider sporting new physical bodies, perfected, rejuvenated physical forms. Again, as I indicated, this is not so difficult as you might consider. The cells of your body, the consciousness of your physical bodies, and so on, all know how to do this. They simply need to be triggered when the time is right, when the flag is dropped, you might consider. So all of this will unfold far more easily than many of you might expect. And so I come forth with these stories and with these words of hope and encouragement. Know that all will unfold as it has been promised. And so it is.
Thank you both. I would like to look into that concept of managing the physical. Now, are you discussing the physical body or physical, in the physical, what surrounds us, where we live, or both? I wanted to clarify that point.
I was referring to both. As you move into this new consciousness and through the process of ascension, the ability to, you might consider, manipulate, I use that word in a positive, not negative sense, to manipulate the physical experience in which you find yourselves will be quite straightforward for you. So that manipulation can apply to your physical body, but also all that surrounds you. So it includes both.
Thank you. I would like for you to give us a little insight as to intention. When a person has intention, how that affects those events which surround us.
Intention is very powerful. Though, because it is doubted by many people, and also because of the current consciousness in which you find yourselves, intention does not necessarily manifest into the physical in an immediate way for everybody. For some people who have practiced this and who have healed themselves very deeply and profoundly can, through intention, bring forth pretty much anything in their lives quite readily, even in this dimension. But as you move into the new ascended consciousness, then the ability to, you might consider, manifest through intention, through visualization, anything that you choose will simply become part of the human experience once more, even more so than was the case in the time of Atlantis, where there was, you might consider, a level of this ability.
Thank you so much. And what of our intentions for other people? In other words, people who are close to us, those that we love, if we have intentions for them, do they come to pass?
Intentions for other people is always a complex issue. Their own desires, their own paths, their own intentions are far more relevant than your intentions for them. Though that is not to say that you should not have intentions in relation to either people in your life or people you wish to see come into your life, people of a particular type, for example. You might wish to, for example, bring a particular type of person into your life as a potential partner, both on a personal level or from a activity perspective. These things are very useful to do. And so if someone that you share your life with, you have an intention around them, that is, again, useful to do, but it is secondary to their own life journey, you might consider. provided that intention is positive, it can certainly assist them. But ultimately, they will walk their own paths. And as I say, that will take priority over an intention you might set in relation to someone that you know.
Thank you. I was going to ask a question about, it just slipped my mind now. I'm sorry. I guess what I had in mind was about a skill. What can we do if we wish to obtain a skill? It could be writing or singing or any kind of skill. Can we intend that skill be developed within our being?
Yes, you can set an intention of that nature. That is not to say that you do not need to practice or to study in some manner to assist with its manifestation, but certainly setting intention in relation to those things is a very helpful thing to do.
I would also like for you to give us some thoughts about intuition and what that might mean to an individual.
Intuition is something which has in large measure been lost to humanity. Again, when you are living in an environment that does not encourage you to go within, does not encourage you to heal yourself, encourages you to live in fear and doubt and so on, then it is not an environment which encourages the engagement of intuition. Also, you are encouraged to, if you wish to go forward in life, to plan where you wish to go, to plan how you wish your life to unfold. But I am drawn to share with you that line from John Lennon, which I find so wonderful, and that is that line where he says that life is what happens whilst you're making other plans. And in so many ways, it is true, because life unfolds in front of you. And if you trust that unfolding, if you trust that you have undertaken the necessary healing in this lifetime, if you have positioned yourself in a manner which, where you stand in love for yourself and love for others, and you set intention, and you trust your intuition, your inner guidance, then life will simply unfold in front of you, consistent with that intuitive guidance. Everybody has this intuitive guidance, this inner direction, you might say, that unfolds. You might consider the intuition as being a communication center of sorts through which you are given guidance from many sources, whether it be from your higher self, from your soul, from your monad even, from the consciousness of your physical body, from other beings that are interested and have committed to assist you on your journey, from your guardian angel. So many sources communicate to you and with you through that intuitive center, if you are open to it. Indeed, even the circumstances of life communicate to you through it, because part of that intuitive center is your own sense of what is true. And so it is a mechanism by which to evaluate things that come to you, ideas, information, suggestions, choices. These things come, you might consider, through your intuition for assessment. And if you assess them in this way and choose accordingly and step forward in life on the basis of them, you will step forward in life and through life in a way that seems so easy and simple and effortless. Even though you may have experiences of suffering in various ways, as so many of you do. That is not to say that this process is still not at work for you, because it surely is if you are open to it, if you are accepting of your life and your circumstances, and you're open to the mechanisms by which you might move it forward if you are unwell or ill or whatever the issue might be. If you are open to the guidance coming forth, then your intuitive guidance is such an important thing in life, far more important, really, than the process of planning. Now, that is not to say that you should not plan, because there is a place for planning. But ultimately, that intuitive guidance is far more valuable and important in the unfolding of life. You will get prompts to do things at times. Other times you will be faced with choices and you are unclear. And indeed, if you are unclear and you are not getting a sense of which to choose, do nothing. Let it sit. Because what will happen is life has a way of making it very clear to you which choice you need to make, which action you need to take. It will become very clear. So do not be rushed into choices when you are uncertain. Stand back. Do less rather than more. And you will find that things will unfold in front of you, driven primarily by that beautiful internal guide called intuition.
Thank you. Give us a little insight about dreams.
Some people dream quite extensively, others very little. And some people have developed the ability to recall their dreams quite vividly and indeed make a point of documenting their dreams. And that can be quite useful and powerful in bringing understandings forth, because dreaming so often provides a mechanism for information to come to you that might not otherwise come through the front door, you might say, in life for one reason or another. Dreaming is also part of healing. There are circumstances which you might relive, for example, or revisit or replay in a different manner from how life actually unfolded for you. And in this kind of way, the dreaming process can be an important mechanism for healing. And this applies more, I would suggest to you, when you have progressed along your spiritual journey than when you have not, because these subtle forms of healing are rather less powerful when there is still quite a lot of healing to do. But it is a very powerful purpose that dreams can fulfill. Many people dream and do not remember their dreams, or are not drawn to remember their dreams, and there is nothing lacking in that. There's nothing wrong with that. If they are not drawn to track their dreams closely, then that is their choice, and it is a valid choice. It is not to say that everybody should work hard to remember their dreams and document them. Those who do are drawn to do it, and that is good, and usually there is some reason for them to do it. But I would suggest to you that most people dream pretty much every night, but in large measure do not remember those dreams. But those dreams have always served a purpose of the type that I have described, either bringing information forth that is placed in the subconscious as a result of that dream, or there has been some healing that has been undertaken through the replaying of experiences in that dream state.
Thank you. There are individuals, I'm sure, who wish to work with you. Tell us how they might do that.
Are you aware of Helen on line one, Carolyn?
It just popped up. I saw it, yes, and I'm going to get her real quick.
Okay, sorry, your question was?
how we might work with him.
Oh, with Babaji?
Yes.
There are many people on the planet that I work with. I have, firstly, the ability to bilocate, to be in multiple places, not just two, but in fact in several. But more particularly, people can connect with me through intention or by calling me forth, as Richard has done. As you know, most of the people that he does this with have crossed over, and it is a lot easier for people beyond this veiled consciousness to connect with multiple individuals concurrently. I have developed that ability within this dimension, and so people simply need to call me forth to connect with me. I would suggest for most people that they go into meditation and ask me to join them. And as I said, there are many that I work with on the planet, and many experience me come forth that have worked with me in the past or who feel a strong connection with me. And so I simply manifest in their experience at times, usually in their inner sight, though indeed I can also show up in their physical experience as well.
So you
might consider love to play these games and support as many people as are drawn to connect with me as come forth in that manner.
Thank you. We would like to take a question from Helen on line one. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Carolyn, Richard, and Babaji. My question is, how does he see rejuvenation in the next 90 days also?
Did you hear that, Richard?
Yes, I think what Helen meant is, does Babaji see this unfolding in the next 90 days?
Yes.
That's a good question.
It is difficult to say exactly what day you might consider that this will emerge, but I do feel very strongly that we are talking days and perhaps weeks rather than months or years. In other words, the period of 90 days is a very realistic, indeed, beyond the time when I would expect to see this emerge in a way that many people begin to experience. So I consider that 90-day boundary a very realistic boundary.
Thank you. I don't know if we can get this question in real quickly. Lou on line two has a question. What's your question, Lou?
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. Hi, Babaji. My question is, in anticipation of this call tonight, I was meditating to try to bring forth Babaji, and I don't know if I was able to connect with him or not, but as a composer, I'm working on a new music that is relevant to this time, and it's specifically for this time, and I wanted to know if he connected with that and if he felt it was time to bring that forth.
My dear Lou, I was aware of your efforts to connect with me, and I know that you have not opened up these abilities as much as you will in the future to be aware of my responses. But I do encourage you with your musical development. It is something that you are prompted to do, and I encourage you to follow your own guidance in the manner that I was expressing. Trust yourself, dear one. Your insights and your sense of what is appropriate are very sound. You've had some difficult times in your life in recent years, but trust those that are around you and reaching out to support you, and allow them to encourage you and allow you to reclaim your trust in yourself and indeed your trust in life. And again, trust your promptings that what you are doing is well-timed.
Thank you both. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Babaji, for being here answering our questions, and Richard for bringing him forth. We have to end this information now, and we wanted to move on, if we have time, about our Book of Love, Richard, and Yeshua working with us on that.
Yes. Yeshua tapped Carolyn on the shoulder a week or so ago and said that he wanted to come forth on a conference call and work with the content of the Book of Love to, in a sense, reinforce it in ways, but also perhaps to share some additional information around it that he wanted to do on a conference call. And so I'll be setting that up in the next couple of days, so that those of you that are drawn to do that, whether you have already purchased a copy of the Book of Love or not, I will be sending out that invitation to you all. And if you've not already purchased the Book of Love, there will be a link there for you to be able to do that if you wish. Obviously, it would be helpful to have that before the call. So I will give you that opportunity again if you haven't already done so. But I have no idea really in detail what he wants to cover. We inevitably find out about the content of these things as they unfold. And I am reminded of that call that we did with Leonardo, with that
yes,
really
that
fascinating information.
That
and again, you know, I had no idea what he was going to share with us on that call, but it was quite fascinating. So, as
you
I
know,
said,
that
I will
might
send
be
out
something,
that,
Richard, to make available to people to be able to get that information, because that call was spectacular.
Yes, I'll make a link again available to that recording if people are interested and haven't yet received it.
I would like to again thank Babaji and you also, Richard, for the wonderful work that you have done to bring Babaji forth. It has been a most interesting evening. We've learned so much. Thank you both. And we're at the end of the call. Richard, do you have anything that you could say very quickly?
Well, I just would like to thank you, Carolyn, and thank Babaji. It's been such a joy, really, to work with him. He's made it very easy and a great joy, as I say, to work with his beautiful energy. I could sit here for ages basking in it.
Bask away, dear one. So I would like to thank all of you for listening to this, and we will send this information out to you as quickly as we can. I really think you're going to be interested in working with Yeshua and the Book of Love. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.